Let us read this passage again, Ephesians 4, verse 14 to 16. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy and sacred word. When a baby is born, the parents will be very concerned about the feeding of the infant. The infant must feed and drink well in order for him or her to grow physically. So the parent will make sure at the right time the baby will drink and will drink the right amount, and milk will be the substance that he or she would drink. Later on, the infant must grow to take on solid food. We all know that. Only one kind of baby will not drink milk, and that is a baby that is stillborn, dead. And it is very sad. What about Christians? We were once spiritual babes. As 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. As a spiritual babe, when we first came to know the Lord, we desire to drink this sincere milk of God's word. And as we drink, as we grow, we must grow on to take spiritual solid food. As in the difficult doctrines of the Bible. So we perhaps start with the basic fundamental doctrines. We love those doctrines. And then we grow and grow and take in those things hard to be understood. Solid food. For that purpose, God has given to us the church, pastors, teachers, and even leaders to preach and teach the word of God, so that this Christian, beginning with being a spiritual babe, will continue to grow and then become strong and healthy. And in turn, this Christian will teach other spiritual babes to drink the sincere milk of the word, and they in turn will grow, and then they will teach others as well. The life of the church is like a cycle. That is the pattern God has in building the church. So to begin, let us ask ourselves, we may have been a Christian for 10, 20 years. What about our spiritual growth? Maybe you have children who have been in the church for 10 years. What about their spiritual growth? There was a time when we were drinking spiritual milk, and now we ought to be taking solid food. But are we taking spiritual solid food, or are we still drinking milk? No, by the grace of God, we have to grow and to take in spiritual meat, as in the doctrines, hard to be understood, theological things. We grow to be able to understand and then to teach others. So this morning, for our message, we want to concentrate on the growing Christian. The title of our message is Building the Church, Growing Christians. Now, there are 3 points in our message. The first point we want to be focused on is the importance of sound doctrine. If we want to grow, we must have sound doctrine. If the baby wants to grow, the baby must have the sincere milk that comes from the mother. We need this sincere milk of God's word. Sound doctrine. Verse 14 says, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. It is very interesting, the Apostle Paul used the word children to refer to those who are not growing spiritually. Children. I love children. Do you love children? I see a lot of children running around. We all love children. I see people carrying babies and passing them around. We all love children. But if you study the characteristics of children, children are very fickle-minded, right? They can be very interested in one thing, and then all of a sudden they turn away, interested in another thing, and then they turn to a third agenda. And then they forget what is the first thing. You know, children can be easily swayed, easily deceived. It is a terrible thing when these characteristics of children follow them all the way to adulthood. You'll be very sad. And it is a terrible thing when spiritual people like you and me, we are still babes. With all the characteristics of a spiritual babe. And we carry these characteristics all the days of our lives. That will be very sad. And if we remain like that, then we would be like what the Bible says, victims of the sleight of men and their cunning craftiness. If we are not grounded in the Word of God, we will be like little children being swayed here and then swayed there and then swayed to the third thing. All kinds of false teachings that come, humanistic, demonic, paganistic, whatever false doctrines that come, it will sway us here and there, tossed to and fro. It's very sad. It's very sad physically when you see a person who appears to be an adult, 30, 40 years old, and yet asking the father and mother for pocket money. It's devastating. That would be most terrible. Every parent will want their children to grow physically, spiritually, emotionally, just as every pastor, teacher, leader in the church would want the members to be growing Christians. Growing from a spiritual babe to someone who is spiritually mature. You know, God has blessed us, as we learned in our previous message, pastors and teachers and leaders, for this very purpose, that they may be gifted to preach and teach. And as the word of God is being received, these spiritual babes will grow and be equipped and no longer be like little children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. The word sleight comes from the Greek word where we get the word cube. You know, whenever we think of this cube, it somehow has a sense of trickery. We think of the dice, how professional gamblers would use dice to gamble. While I was working in the prison ministry, I once ministered to an ex-gambler or a cheater. And he told me this trick. He says, my trick was with the dice, the cube. The cube has six sides with all the numbers. And he says, we can make the dice to stop at what numbers we want. I said, how can you do that? He says, well, we have a magnet in the cube. And then we have one under the table. And we have a device to control it. And when you press, it will turn. The people will not know. Trickery. That is the word. They do it to trick, to cheat. In a spiritual arena, there will always be this man with their trickery, with their cunning craftiness, always waiting to deceive the people. Cheating, you will not see. On the surface, it looks all right. But underneath, there is always this trickery. Now, today we can boast so much about our advanced knowledge about technology, education, science. We can even be so proud about how the Word of God can be spread through the media, through the internet. But never in history has man been more deceived than in our times. Do you realize that? Never in our times, men and women have been deceived more than ever than in time past. We hear of stories of people preaching and saying, Jesus is coming on a particular date. Jesus is coming next month, next week. Sell all your things. Come with me. Go to a place. And people would do that. And when we learn of these people, who are they? Some of them are doctors, some of them are lawyers, engineers, CEOs of big companies. Intellectual people in the secular world, but spiritual babes. That is why they have been tossed to and fro. With every wind of doctrine, not grounded in the Word of God. Think again about all the materials that we read in the bookshop. How discerning are our people? We walk into the bookshop. There are thousands of books, millions that you can find. People buy them, read them, digest them, without realizing that, in fact, they are digesting things unbiblical. Think about those people who come to your children in school, and all the things they will teach your children, influence them, instead of encouraging them spiritually, but they cast doubts in their hearts, in their minds. It is so sad. No, this is not something strange. If you remember during Jesus' time, there were the scribes and the chief priests who came to Jesus Christ asking questions. Sometimes people ask questions. They ask questions not because they want to learn, not because they are genuine, but they ask because they want to create trouble, they want to tempt, they want to cast doubts. Craftiness. These people came to Jesus and said, we know that you have taught the truth about God. We know that you teach good things. Then they ask, is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesars? Very crafty. And Jesus perceived their craftiness. Jesus said, whose image, whose superscription is on the coin? They said, Caesar's. And Jesus said, render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and render unto God what belongs to God. Our Lord Jesus, the Almighty God, He knows the craftiness of men. So people may come with all kinds of questions, not genuine, to cast doubts. It is a sinful and immoral world that we live in, full of deceptions. The devil knows how to create confusions, especially to our little ones. Please do not take it lightly. He's like a lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We must be careful of our little ones. You know, in my church, a lot of young people sometimes will ask me questions. I will talk to them, have meals with them. And some of the questions they ask me will frighten you. No, there are young people whom I know have already been influenced by this same-sex marriage. Australia soon will take up same-sex marriage. Now they are debating. It's a matter of time. And there are already young people, even in the church, they have been inclined by their friends who are pro same-sex marriage. I've been asked by young people who came to me and said, which is worse? You have a normal couple, the husband commit adultery, and then bring all kinds of emotional pain to the family. And then here you have a loving homosexual couple who did nothing to anyone, hurt no one. Which is worse? In reality, they are trying to classify sin. Which is a greater sin? Worse still, which is a better sin? God made men and women. Adam and Eve, we all learn. Not Adam and Steve. But our children have been influenced by this craftiness of the world. Once I was in a prayer meeting, a young man dropped in and came in, sat down. I was so encouraged. He came for prayer meeting. No one knew him. After the prayer meeting, he said to me, he said, I am a Christian universalist. That was the first time I heard about Christian universalists. I heard about universalists, but you attached the name Christian, so I was a bit confused. And he said, well, I believe in salvation by grace. I believe salvation by faith. I believe in the fundamental doctrines of the Bible, but I believe that ultimately everyone in this world will be saved by Jesus Christ because His love wins. Everyone, he said, ultimately. And I told him, I said, then you do not believe in the fundamental doctrines of the Bible because these people rejected Jesus Christ. And if they rejected Jesus Christ, how can they be saved by faith? How can they be saved by grace? And he ended by saying, that is your church view. This is my view. The craftiness of the world. There are people who are being tossed here and there. They are genuine people. Some of them. But the world is such, my friend. And we are not talking about people who tells you, I'm an unbeliever. People who come in the name of a Christian, I'm a Christian, and yet tossed to and fro. When we, as Bible-believing church, we stress the Word of God, people will say we are narrow-minded, right? Let them say what they want. This is the only way that is right. The only way that we can found ourselves. To have this strong foundation, build ourselves on the Word of God. Never mind if they call us people who are narrow-minded or all kinds of other names. We are living in perilous times. So we need to grow. And the only way we can grow is by sound doctrines, by teaching. Once you move away from these sound doctrines, you'll be tossed to and fro. You will take in every wind of doctrine, everything that is interesting, everything that is exciting, you will accept. But when you have the Word of God as your foundation, you will look at everything that comes through the Word of God. You will be discerning. Your children will be discerning if they are grounded in God's truth. Sound doctrine, very important. That's why as a Bible Presbyterian church, we have the Bible attached or affixed to the word Presbyterian. Why? Because we are a Bible-believing church, Bible-defending church. We go back to sound doctrine. Doctrine that will protect us. Doctrine that will cause us not to be tossed to and fro. So, my friends, we need to grow and not be like spiritual children. You know, spiritual children are those who have just come to know the Lord. You do not become spiritually matured overnight. You need to grow slowly, right? Gradually. So the new believers, they are spiritual babes. But they will grow. They will grow. But the problem is when the church is filled with spiritual children and you do not have spiritual mature believers, and when these spiritual children, they want to be counselors, they want to start counseling people, you are in deep trouble. When you have more spiritual children than spiritual mature believers, and then some of these spiritual children, they become your Sunday school teachers, you are in deep trouble. They become parents, and then the children would have no one to lead them. They creep into the leadership, they take the pulpit, you are in deep trouble. The only way the church can survive is that we go back to sound doctrine and the people grow and be mature, and you have more spiritual mature believers than spiritual children, then that is a strong church. We pray that Tabernacle BB Church will be strong, that the people will grow, that there will be mature believers in the families, as fathers, as mothers, Sunday school teachers, so that our people will learn. So do not neglect all the spiritual resources you have in the church. Do not neglect prayer meetings where the Word of God is being taught. Do not neglect Sunday school ministry where the Word of God is being taught. Do not neglect the fellowship meetings and every avenues you have in the church. Grab those opportunities and learn the Word of God. This is very important because sound doctrine is the only thing that will cause us to grow. And it must be our foundation. Otherwise, we will be tossed to and fro. The next thing we want to learn is the importance of speaking the truth in love. As a growing Christian, we not only have these doctrines grounded in sound doctrines, but also we apply and speak the truth in love. So the second point is the importance of speaking the truth in love. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. If you are a mature believer, you will not be easy target of those false teachers, false teachings. But you will also faithfully declare the Word of God, the gospel to the unbelieving world. You will be mature in your thinking. At the same time, you will reach out in love. You are not proud, but you speak the truth in love. You know, this is the life of the church, as I've said. It is a cycle. People are evangelized, brought into the church. They are edified, encouraged, strengthened, and then they mature. They go out, evangelize. Others are brought in, and then they will be edified, strengthened, encouraged, and then they go out, and then others are brought in by the grace of God. The life of a church, it's like a cycle. And then we grow at different levels of spiritual maturity. And what is our motivation to evangelize? What is our motivation to edify? What is our motivation to strengthen, even to exercise our spiritual gifts? Love. Love. No, do not argue just for the sake of arguing. Do not debate just for the sake of debating. Why do you fight and quarrel over doctrines just for the sake of argument? No, love. You speak the truth in love. You speak the truth so that people will know the truth and then they would repent from their sins and turn to Jesus Christ. Love must be our motivation, not arrogance, not hypocrisy. We share the gospel in love. We are gentle. We plead with the people, turn to Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can save you. Not in a holier-than-thou manner, or not in a very proud attitude, we come to you, but with meekness. Just as the Apostle Paul, you know, when he evangelized to the Thessalonians, he encouraged the Thessalonians. He said of himself, I'm like a loving mother. I'm like a nurse. I nurse you. I love you so much that I'm like a mother nursing the child, the babe. And that is what we must be. In the church, when we speak the truth, we speak in love. We speak to one another in love. We minister the Word of God in love. When you share the Word of God to the children, you share the Word of God by presenting it to them with a life that has been impacted by the same truth. In love, you do then. I've been impacted by this truth. I want to present this truth to you, little children, that you may be impacted with the same truth I've been affected. The same goes with the preacher. You preach the Word of God. You have been impacted by the Word of God. You present it with a life that has been affected by God's truth. And then you preach in love. The same goes with parents. You teach your children, don't do this. I plead with you. Why? Because mommy and daddy, we know this is wrong. This is what God's word says. We speak the truth in love. And we continuously do it. This is the only way, not in arrogance, not in hypocrisy, but in love. You may think, oh, it is very easy speaking the word in love. It is extremely difficult. You know, when you preach against sin, people will be offended. When sin is revealed, people's not happy. There will be hostility. There will be animosity. There will even come persecutions. But you yet persevere and speak the truth in love. You may reject me. You may be hostile towards me, but I love you enough to speak the truth. I want to restore you. I want to instruct you with the Word of God. Please turn to Jesus Christ. And you do it in love. This is the only motivation. And we do it in love. Now the third thing we want to learn is the importance of edification. Look at verse 15 to 16. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. For from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Verse 16, the Apostle Paul describes the believers yet again as a body. The body has different features, the hand, the legs, the eyes, the ears, and so forth. But the head of the body is Christ. Christ is the head. He controls this whole body. He dictates this whole body, how it ought to move, where it ought to go, what it ought to be doing. Unlike the Roman Catholic Church, which says that the Pope is the head. They follow the tradition of the Apostle Peter. The Pope is not the head. No human being is the head. Only Christ is the head. And the Bible says very clearly, Christ is the head of the body. You may be the leg, I may be the hand. Some of us here may be the vital organs, sensory organs. We made up this body. We are different, uniquely different. We are special in our own individual ways. We are gifted in different ways, but yet we are compacted together. You know, that speaks of the points of contrast, the joints. We may be different parts, but yet we are fit together. And then we all look to the head, which is Christ. Christ is the head that joins the whole member, all the members together as one. And then with the spiritual gifts given to you, given to me, given to her, given to him, we all flow from one member to the other onto the entire body, edifying the body. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part tells us the importance of every believer's spiritual gifts. Individual gift, very important. You know, this is not something that is humanistic. It is the result of every member exercising the gift that God has given and then coming together, glorifying the head. The only way for us to do it is to be close with one another, is to have a close relationship within the body of believers. When there's disunity, you know, we are like a body suffering a dislocation. Have you ever suffered a dislocation? It's a very painful thing. I once had this experience. I went to Mabula, which is about 4 hours drive from Melbourne. And then I fell and I dislocated my shoulder. It was 12 p.m., I remember. And then by the time we reached back to the city in Melbourne, it was 11 hours later. And this hand was hanging outside. It was so painful that I went to hospital. Immediately, I was given this gas to bring down the pain or whatever. It was so painful. A dislocation. When we are not closely joined together, when you do your thing, and then the other person does his or her thing, and everyone not willing to come together, be united as one, the body suffers. The body suffers. But rather than letting the body suffer, we are to edify one another. The only way we edify is to allow every member to exercise this gift flowing from one to another in this close relationship, edify one another so that we may grow in Christian wisdom, in godliness, in life, in practice, and the starting point is love. We do it in love. So you see, verse 15 says, speaking the truth in love. And you look at verse 18, it ends with edifying of itself in love. It's always in love. That's how we live our lives in the church. That's how we relate with one another, in love. You know, you take away love from the life of the church. Think about it. You take away love from our mission work. What happens? We will be a group of people trying to win people for our organization, right? For our denomination. Then we become proud. You take away love from the truth, we'll be like the scribes and the Pharisees. You take away love from our sanctification, then we become self-righteous. You take away love from unity, then we will be a church that is just there to impose human standards. Rather than taking away love, we do everything in love. In love. We edify one another in love. That's how we serve, right? We serve in the refreshment teams. We serve in the Sunday school. We serve in the youth fellowship, adults fellowship. We serve in the church in love. We encourage brethren who have not been coming for spiritual activities, not in a very arrogant manner, not in a prideful manner, but in love. Brother or sister, why are you not coming? Please come. We see those brethren missing from church. We call them in love. Come back. Come back and worship. We miss you. We want you to come back and be encouraged by God's word, that we can worship together, serve God together. In love, we do that. Love begins and it does not stop there. It goes on to help the brethren to grow, to be more and more like Christ. So we want the brethren to come to be edified, to be encouraged. This is the importance of edification. We want to edify them. We want to encourage them. We have to remember that this is our duty. This is our responsibility. We have been given gifts, not for us to store it, but to exercise it so that others may be encouraged, may be edified. It is not about me and Jesus. You know, there's this people who always say, it's all about me and Jesus only. Christianity is not just about you and Jesus. Of course, that is a very important relationship you must have. But that is not the only relationship. What about the body of believers? What about His church, of whom He is the head? How do you relate with the others when you just say, it is me and Jesus? I have a member who once said to me, why must I come for prayer meeting? Why must I come? After all, I can stay at home. I can pray. God hears my prayer. Why must I travel all the way to church to pray? I said to him, no, you may be strong. You may be able to stay at home and pray. There may be another sister, another brother who is in a difficult time, going through some trouble, crying out to God, doesn't know how even to utter prayers. And that brother may need you to come alongside to help him to pray. And you have just rejected being that brother. Right? We need one another. When a brother is in trouble, we are there to help. That's why Romans 15 verse 1 and 2 tells us, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. We ought to please not ourselves, but to encourage, to edify our brethren. If you look further down in Ephesians 4 verse 28, the Bible says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. If you look at that phrase there, that he may have to give to him that needeth. There may be some people who are in need of help, some people who are lacking. And you who have been blessed by God, you help. You edify, you build up. You help his need. Then the presupposition is that you know what his needs are, right? People will not come to you with the word, I have need for this, on the forehead. And then you say, okay, I give you. You have to know them enough. Know them enough, be aware of their needs, and you are committed to want to know because you love. You want to edify, you want to encourage. This is the responsibility of every one of us as a growing Christian. We who have been helped by others, now we have grown, we help others. We have been taught the word of God by others. Now we have grown, we teach others in love. We ought to grow as a Christian. I'd like to end by quoting what our Lord Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 34 to 39. This is a very familiar passage that Jesus shared with his disciples about the day where God will separate the sheep from the goats, a reference to the believers and the unbelievers. Now, it is very interesting that some of these passages are so familiar to us, we read them over and over again, but they do not register. Because we tell ourselves, I know this passage so much, so read it so many times. I know what is going on. But listen carefully to what our Lord Jesus, he said. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? These are the sheep. These are the believers who are living their lives as Christians. They are just living godly lives. And Jesus came to them and said, You did this to me. You did that to me. But they say, When did that happen? How come we didn't know? All because they were not doing it to be put on the report card. They were not doing this thing so that people will pat them on the back and say, Well done. We appreciate what you have done. They were doing those things simply because they loved the Lord. They were living their lives as Christians. Doing those things, they themselves were not aware. So spontaneous that they themselves were not aware. But Jesus, he was aware. He said, Because you did this unto one of these little ones, you did it unto me. Now, this is how we should live our lives. Not that the world will come and pat us and appreciate us, not that people will come to us and then applaud us and say, Well done, not for the glory of men, but that the great shepherd of the sheep may say to us, You have done this to one of these little ones. You have done it unto me. Soon, Tabernacle BB Church will be celebrating her 29th, is it? 29 years. I was just thinking about 29 years. It's sufficient for a spiritual babe. Not spiritual babe, physical babe. To grow up, to get married, right? Those babies you carry, 29 years later, God willing, they will get married. It's sufficient. It's a long time. Some of us here have been here from the very beginning. We came and we were spiritual babes. But today, are we still spiritual babes? It'll be very sad. 29 years later, we are still spiritual babes. What about you who have come here perhaps 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Are you still spiritual babes? I pray that we will all grow. There's no way we can live our Christian life but to grow. The moment we stop growing, we will slide down. We will surely slide down. We will never be stagnant. We will drift away from God. The only way we can live our Christian life is to grow. Building the church is about building the people. Building you and building me. And all of us, we need to be growing Christians. If we have not grown, may the Lord forgive us. Help us. Help us to know that we need to go back to sound doctrines because it is most important. We need to speak the truth in love, the importance of love. We need to understand the importance of edification within the body of Christ. We encourage, edify one another so that we will grow. Every one of us will grow by the grace and mercy of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come before thee. We thank thee for how thou hast raised up this church, Tabernacle BP Church. How thou hast sustained this church for so many years. And for what purpose thou would raise up leaders. For what purpose thou would raise up such a church like this. If not that the people may grow to glorify thee. We who have been called and saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we were once spiritual babes. We love the sincere milk of the word. But today, as we look back, by thy grace we have grown. And we love thy word still. And we want to be in a deeper and more intimate relationship with our Lord Jesus, to grow in the knowledge of Christ. Some of us, we have failed thee. Forgive us, for we have not been growing. And we are reminded this is the only way to live our Christian life. And thou hast blessed us with leaders. Thou hast blessed us with all the spiritual resources. There's no excuse. So help us to call out to thee and rely on the working of thy Spirit and thy word, and grow from strength to strength, from faith to faith. Be with the people in this church. Bless Tabernacle BP Church, that we will be a church that will glorify the head, that is Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.